bookwork before we get started. You may not realize this, but as I was waiting around, I was writing down some of the names of people who are in administration or who are other pastors who are in the that are in the Minnesota conference that came from Oregon. Did you know that there were very, very many? Tom Lemon came to Minnesota to be our conference president before union president. We have Jeff Wines that came from here. He's our youth director over in Minnesota. We've got Justin Lyons, who is the vice president for administration. Am I on? Obviously, I'll stay right here. Jim Heiner. I don't know if anybody knows Jim. He's a pastor.
But he's also was a member here at this church.
And one of the guys that was the most excited about the fact that I was heading this direction is Dwayne Mock. Anybody remember Dwayne Mock? He was baptized here, and he attended this church. And as I thought about all the people that came from Oregon to Minnesota, it's only fair that the Lord would pop one back, right?
Amen.
Yeah, and we're happy to be here. Julie and I have found a house, and last night we pulled our motorhome up there. We're camping out, waiting for our possessions to arrive, and we're real excited to be able to serve here. In fact, one of the things Dwayne asked me to do was to take a picture to send him. If, with your indulgence, I'd like to do that just right now. I wonder if it's possible to get everybody in this congregation. Okay, everybody wave to Dwayne. Yeah, good job. I don't know if I got everybody in the balcony over there, but awesome. So we took care of that. Little business we have to take care of before we get started. You know, one of the things that we're going to be doing together as we journey for Jesus is we're going to be waiting. Isn't that right? You know, one of the interesting things about being created by a creator God who created us in space and time, who very much is able to enter into space and time and interact with us, is that we are designed and created in a space where we have to wait. You know, we have to wait 8 minutes for that beautiful sunshine, for those rays to arrive here on the earth and warm us. Isn't that beautiful? We have to wait for our baby teeth to leave and we get our permanent teeth. We have to wait till we're 16 and we can get our driver's license. We have to wait till we graduate from high school. We wait till we finish college if we do that, or until the Lord helps us find that one special person and we get married. We wait for that first child. We wait for that first grandchild. Can anybody say amen for that? A few of you here? You know, we wait to retire. We wait even to die. You know, life is about waiting. But probably one of the most important things that we have to wait for is the thing that the New Testament really emphasizes the most, and that is waiting for Jesus to come. If you ever read the book, the Epistle of Peter, one of the things he says is a salvation ready to be revealed at that moment. You know, the whole New Testament's revolved around this waiting for Jesus to come. And one of the things we're going to do as we wait for Jesus, you and I are together, the congregation, as we do our ministry together, and we wait for Jesus, is that we are going to be waiting together. And Jesus knew that us having this space and time experience, having to wait, that we would have problems with waiting. And so he gave us in Luke chapter 12 a little lecture about waiting. And as we read this text together, I'm going to ask you to think about not only what Jesus is saying about waiting for his coming, but also about how you're waiting for every other act and every other turn in your life, because it really does make a difference how you wait. And Jesus will share with us that there are three ways to wait. Let's go ahead and read it together. We're going to be in Luke chapter 12, and we're going to be in verse 35, as you can see right behind me here. And I'll go ahead and I will see what happens when I push that. Yeah, I'll put that on the screen for you if you do not have it. If you have a, is there a pew Bibles there in front of you? If there are, if you don't have a Bible, please pick up a pew Bible and then you can check that out yourself. You know, it's an interesting little pulpit you have up here. You never know what I'm doing back here, do you? It's all kind of, I like that. So I'm just teasing. So let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 12, verse 35 and 40. Are you ready? But before we do that, let's have a little word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we open the word, as we study, I'm asking for your spirit to fall on us. I know how hard it is, Lord, for us who have to wait. We get tired of waiting. But Lord, I pray that as we study this text, you'll renew us, you'll invigorate us, you'll challenge us, and you'll help us. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord here is speaking to these disciples, and he says, "Stay dressed for action." I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. "And keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes at the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." In this incredible text about waiting, Jesus gives us three ways to wait. The first way in which we can wait is that we can wait actively. Wait actively. The text says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning." I love how the English Standard Version translates this. It really captures the feel, but who has a more literal translation like the King James? What's yours say? Anybody have it? You want to tell me? "Let your loins be girded." That's right. Very good. Matter of fact, the literal translation would be, you must all be like the man whose waist is girded. And there's two really powerful symbols here in this text. The first is this idea of girding your waist. Now, of course, today we wear pants, don't we? They didn't invent pants back then. Instead, the men would be, in, if they were at home, for example, they would wear a long outfit that usually came down below the knees. It was sort of like a circular tube sort of thing. You might have seen that on some Bible show, right? And when you're at home, you're just lounging around at home, you just unloosen that, it all falls down, and you sort of lay around the house or you do whatever you're going to do. And then, of course, if you were going to go out and do something, like take a walk, or you were going to go on a journey or something, it would be a little hard, right? Because you lift your knees up and you get caught. You can imagine that happening. So they would then take their outfit and they just hoist it up like that and put a little belt around it and tie it up. So then their knees are free and now they're able to do something. They can go out, they can walk, they can take care of business. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is the symbolism we're talking about here. I imagine, you know, we all know about this symbolism, don't we? How many of you have clothes that you lounge around in home, or maybe no clothes? Who knows? Right? There's a difference between the lounging around clothes and the clothes that you're going to wear when you're out busy doing something. Isn't that right? For in fact, if I'm in my lounging around clothes, what do? Someone knocks on the door. What do you say? You know, you crack it open just a little bit. "I can't come out right now. I'm not what?"
Dressed.
You're not dressed. You're probably wearing something, but you're not dressed. And see, this is the idea that Jesus has for us. Stay dressed for readiness. In other words, I want you to be as if you're ready when the door is to open, the door, someone knocks. You're opening the door. You're ready to go. You're dressed in your outfit. You're ready to go. Now, this is a spiritual message here, right? We're not talking about just clothing. In other words, Jesus wants us to be active. He wants us to be ready. But what does he want us to be ready for? Well, the next little part of the symbol here is right here. It says, and keep your lamps burning. And Jesus talked about lights and lamps burning quite a bit in his preaching to the disciples. One of the things he said was this in John chapter 5, verse 35. Look what he said about John the Baptist. Jesus said to him, he was a burning light and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. And so Jesus called John the Baptist a burning lamp. Can you picture this in your mind? That Jesus is saying that you, one of the ways that we can wait for Jesus is wait actively. We're dressed for readiness. We're busy doing something for the Master, and we're representing him just like John the Baptist did. You know, John the Baptist, when he was representing Jesus, he was representing the Messiah that was to come, the one who was coming after him. What are we doing? As we're representing the Messiah who's coming. Aren't we? And we need to be like burning lamps. Okay, so the first way that Jesus says that we should wait, and by the way, when he's speaking this, when he says this, he's not talking to his disciples like this. Okay, friends, it's time now to stop waiting the way you were and start waiting this way. Uh-uh. He's saying this is continual action. He's talking to them who are already doing it. He says, while you're waiting, keep doing it. Keep being active. Keep your lamps burning. Stay dressed for readiness. Can you understand? Can we understand that? Are we together? Do we want to do that? Yeah, we want to do that. This is what Jesus is asking us to do. Okay, the second way in which we can wait is we can wait expectantly. So we can wait actively, we can wait expectantly. And here Jesus has the most to say, and I'll explain why in a second. Let's read it together. It says, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom his master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. And if he comes in the second watch or the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. You know, the key, there's a couple of keys in this text. The first one is this word, waiting, that's translated waiting. The word implies not simply being patient, okay? We're not just patiently waiting. This word implies a longing expectation. You're longing for this to occur. This is favorable to you. You want this to happen. Let me give you an example. In fact, in the Bible, in Luke chapter 1, verse 21, as Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, went into the temple, all the people were waiting expectantly for him to come. Another example might be a vacation. How many of you take vacations? Oh, I expect a lot of you here then. I didn't see very many hands. Seriously, now you don't take vacations here? Wow. Well, anyway, for me, vacations are important, and I schedule them on a calendar, and I wait expectantly for the vacation time. We go and take it a vacation, you know? That's the idea. You're waiting in a longing, expectant mode. You know, another example of this that might help is a story that I heard. In fact, it was from a book. You might want to get this book. It's called Character Forged from Conflict by Gary Preston. He tells a story. And this is a story about stuff that happens long ago. In fact, if I have a picture up here, I may not. But it's about the time when the technology was the telegraph and not the smartphone. So for you guys up there in the balcony, and you young people here, a telegraph was back in those days, it wasn't the smartphone that was the cool thing, it was the telegraph. And the telegraph was simply a wire, and you had a thing, and you clicked like this, and you sent Morse code across all over the place. And at that time, you can imagine there was a young guy who was really excited about the Morse code. He wanted the latest technology, and he said to himself, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go work at one of these telegraph offices. I am going to get this technology and be a master of it. So one day he went into the town, the largest town, he went into the largest telegraph office that there was, and he was going to get a job that day. He was so convinced. He walked in, and he noticed, because of the ad in the paper, assured him there was a job there. He walked right up to the reception's desk. Nobody was there. Just a piece of paper and a note. The note said, fill out the form and go over there and sit and wait till you're called. So he walked over and he sat there and he saw seven other guys sitting there and a lady. And they were all sitting there in various ways. One of them was sitting like this. You can picture that. Hope nobody's like that today. Another person was sitting back like this, and he had his mouth open, and a little drool was coming out. Another guy was just sitting like this, and so he filled his paper out, and he sat there, but he sat on the edge of his seat. And pretty soon, about a minute later, he got up, and he went into the office, just right to the door where the interview was happening. And the people there immediately woke up, even the guy that was sitting there drooling. He woke up. He says, what's going on? That guy just walked in there. We've been waiting in here for a long time, and they didn't call us in. A minute later, he comes out with the interviewer. And the interviewer looked over there and says, ladies and gentlemen, the job has been filled. Here's the new applicant. Thank you for coming. You can imagine they got kind of upset, right? They've been waiting. He said, wait a minute. How can you do that? How can you hire this young guy? Because he just went in there. And the man looked at him and says, you know, the whole time you've been here waiting, we've had a telegraph clicking away. And the message was, if you can understand this, come on in, the job's yours. Yeah, he was there. He was expecting. The reason that he was able to come into the job was that he was anxious. He was expecting it. He wasn't waiting with his tongue out and drool hanging and stuff. You get the idea, right? There are two ways of waiting, right? There's waiting actively. There's waiting expectantly. And by the way, I want to share with you that Jesus loves us so much that in every aspect of our lives, whether it be waiting for high school to end, waiting for college to begin, waiting for that first husband or wife, waiting for that decision or move. In every part of your life where you're waiting, these two methods are so powerful that it would help you. Imagine, it's the difference between waiting proactively or reactively in life. You know, if you're waiting actively, if you're waiting expectantly, you're going to be proactive in everything, every area of your life. Isn't that right? You'll be proactive, looking, searching, expecting. But if you simply are waiting in this last way we're going to talk about, you're going to be waiting reactively to everything that happens in your life. Something happens, I react. Well, you were prepared, weren't you prepared? You know, one of the things that's interesting is like moving. I just got through moving, and there's a perfect example of proactive and reactive waiting. We were waiting to move. We knew we were going to move. Do you think we waited till the moving truck showed up? That would be very reactive, wouldn't it? The truck's here! Jesus loves us so much. That's why he tells us how to wait. He warns us about waiting. And so let's go on and let's talk about the last way in which you can wait. There's a telegraph. The third way you can wait is that you can wait ignorantly. Now, when I say that, I want you to understand that the people that Jesus is referring to here, they're not ignorant people. They could be geniuses. They could be brilliant people. They could be top of their class. But what Jesus is referring to is that they're in the way in which they're waiting is an ignorant way of waiting. Watch. They're waiting in ignorance of what's going to happen. So let's listen to this one. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. You know, in this teaching, Jesus contrasts those disciples who are waiting actively, who are waiting expectantly, with those who are not. And the situation of the ones who are waiting in ignorance is this. The second coming of Jesus is not seen favorably. Think about that. Well, let's think. How many of you like it when a thief comes to your house? Anybody here? No hands. We don't like it when thieves come to our house. We don't like it. And this is what Jesus is saying. If you're waiting ignorantly, it's this, you're really not favorable to see Jesus come. That's what he's saying. And in fact, the imagery in this text is even richer because what Jesus is implying is that you weren't home when it happened. You get it? You weren't even there. You left the house. You didn't know the thief would strike. The idea is the reason that you suffered loss is that you left. Well, where did you go? Where did they go when they left? Well, Jesus talks about that a little bit in verse 45 and 46. He says, but if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come at a time when he doesn't realize it. You know, the idea here is that you can wait, you get tired of waiting, and you stop waiting. And not realize that the master is coming. But you know what I think I love about Jesus? Even to this group of people, he loves them so much. Look what he says. You also must be ready. Isn't that grace? Jesus says to them, you also must be ready. You must be ready as well because the Son of Man is coming when you don't expect. You know, I think it's common for people for us, and one of the reasons why we get in this mess is that we try to gauge the second coming of Jesus by some event. Have you ever thought about that? Do we have an event that we're trying to gauge the second coming? We say to ourselves, okay, this hasn't happened, and so I'll wait for that to happen, and when it does, then I'll get myself ready. Isn't that right? Reminds me of a commercial that was very popular for a company that sells online stock. Have you ever bought stock online? I've never done that, but this one had an advertisement that it was so easy to buy from this company that you could just do it with a couple of clicks. And so what they did was they had in their ad this guy sitting there on Sunday afternoon watching football or whatever he was doing on television. His wife comes out to him and says, honey, I'm going out and all you got to do is just sign me up for this stock company to buy stock. He says, sure, honey. So he sits there and he watches his game and he watches another game and he watches another, and pretty soon he's fallen fast asleep, hasn't done a thing. And then he hears the alarm. The garage door goes up. Oh, she's home. He rushes over to the computer. Two clicks and there he's on. He runs back to the couch and lays down. She comes in and says, well, did you do it? He says, what? Are you kidding? Of course I did. You know, we wait. It's like we're waiting for some event when we can get it all together. But Jesus tells us that that's not going to be the case. In fact, I'd like to share with you a word of, if you could, a word of prophecy for you today. That when the end comes, when Jesus comes, it'll happen so rapidly that you will not have time to prepare, to get ready, or believe. And Jesus loves you so much, he wanted you to know that. You know, the end of time, which I believe we're living in, is not a time really to build faith, it's a time to exercise faith. When Jesus comes, we're going to have to be people who are exercising faith, living faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I'm praying that that's the people we'll be. See, Jesus depicts three ways to wait. And for the first two groups, the ones who are waiting actively, that are busy doing something for Jesus with their lamps burning, were the people who are waiting expectantly on the edge of their seat because they long for Jesus to come. You know what? It doesn't matter when Jesus comes. They're already ready. It's only that third group that we need to pray. Because, see, those group that's waiting in ignorance, the coming of Jesus Christ is going to be like this. Imagine for a moment that this was your house. You came home to your house, and there the door had been kicked in, and you walked in, and suddenly all that big screen TV and all this stuff over there, your iPod and your iPad are gone. They're just destroyed. Your house, your furniture is tossed upside down. Your jet ski, I don't know, what are the things you like to play with out here? All the neat stuff, they're gone. It's just a mess in there. See, for those who are waiting for Jesus ignorantly, it'll be as if everything precious to them was gone. They'll see it as if they were losing what was really important to them. Their hobbies, their games, the things that they like to do. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Because as we wait together, we want to be waiting how? Yeah. And it doesn't matter what age you are or where you're sitting in this sanctuary. We want to be waiting for Jesus. Because he's coming. So I'm going to ask yourself, just as an appeal today, ask yourself this question. How are you waiting for Jesus? How many of you, show of hands, know that you need to be more active as you wait for Jesus? Yeah, me too. Amen. We need to be more active, girded, ready, and we need to be with our lights burning, sharing. How many of you here today know that you need to improve on your expectancy, your desire for the second coming of Jesus? I'd really desire it, yeah. And finally, how many of you today, you don't have to show your hands, but the Lord knows your heart. How many of you here today know that you have been waiting in ignorance? Not realizing that the day will come upon you in such a manner that you will not be ready. That know that today you need to make a recommitment to Jesus. You need to make a recommitment to the one who really matters. If that's you today, I'm going to pray with you right now. Will you bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, I know you love us so much. Thank you so much for sharing with us about waiting. As we go forward in time, Father, we're going to be waiting together, waiting for you, working for you, serving you. And Lord, I pray today for all those hearts and all those hands that raised their hands, that you strengthen them in their commitments to you today. But especially for that one group who doesn't realize what's happening to them. I pray for that person who in their hearts right now is saying, Lord Jesus, I need to change. I need renewal. I need to come back. Father, thank you for that person. Thank you for your wonderful grace and your mercy. And I thank you for all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's sing our closing song today.